Okay, today's daf is Yuma Daf Tez Zayin, and we are on Tez Vav Amid Beis. We'll start by 10 lines up at the Tzan Hasam. Says the Gemara, Tzan Hasam, the Mishnah tells us in Meseches Tamid. Why is the following discussion here? So Rashi notes that it's very tangential. It's just that earlier, because we had a Shaila, who was the author of Meseches Tamid, and we suggested Reb Shimon HaMitzpah, and the Gemara said, maybe yes, maybe not. So this is a parallel type of discussion where we say, Meseches Midos is this author and that author. Says Rashi, that's why this is here. Either way, it's a Kachim Sugya, and there are a couple of Mesechtas in Bavli that it is discussed, right? Whenever you have a question like this, you have to say, well, where else should it be? So Meseches Midos has no Gemara, so it can't be Meseches Midos. So where else should it be? So Yuma is fine, besides any of the other Mesechtas in Seder Kachim. So we continue. Tzan Hasam says the Mishnah in Meseches Tamid, Amar Lahem HaMamunah, the appointed one who is in charge of organizing everything in the morning. Rashi says it's the Skan. Amar Lahem HaMamunah, Tzu'uva, Haviu Tzle, Mi Lishka's Beis HaTzalayim. Please bring me a sheep from the Lishka, from the room, from the office, where the sheep are kept. Why? For the Karbet Tamid. As we know, Tamid Daf Lamid, it says on the side. This the whole Masechta of Karbet Tamid goes through. So they go to take one of these sheep out. As we know, the sheep were checked for 4 days before they were used. There were a certain number of sheep to make sure they always had enough in stock to use for the Karbet Tamid. It was checked for 4 days, and that's one of the two reasons that we know that we start saying Slichos 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. The post can discuss. Either because there used to be an ancient minhag of fasting and doing tshuva for 10 days before Yom Kippur, included in tshuva's fasting. The problem is, going from Aseres Yemei Tshuva to Yom Kippur, there are 4 days that one is not allowed to fast. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, we paskin, and Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to eat, and Shabbos Tshuva, whenever that might come up. So to be mashlim for those 4 days that we can't fast / do tshuva, so the minhag developed that we start 4 days even before Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when they used to fast. They used to fast and do tshuva. We don't have that minhag, but that is one of the two reasons why we have at least 4 days before. We always start on a Motzi Shabbos, so it's not confusing for people. That's number one. The other shot given is based on this Mishnah. The concept of having the karbanos, having the animals separated for a certain amount of time and checked for mumin for at least 4 days. So that is also, we check ourselves for mumin, so to speak, for at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, because that is the day that we're going to be makriv ourselves as a karban. Again, the Akedah is that day, and we are our own Akedah on Rosh Hashanah. So those are the two reasons given. So one relates to this Mishnah. So the Mamuna says, please bring me a sheep from the Lishka's Beis HaTzalayim. Where was that? Vahalo. It's a good idea to have, some of you have it in the back of your Gemara, it's a good idea to have a picture book today. It's not required, but just to know the geography of everything in the Beis HaMikdash, but Beis HaShem will explain it as well, orally. Vahalo Lishka's HaTzalayim Haisa Bimiksoat Sonis Ma'aravis. We know that there was a room called the Beis HaMokad. The Beis HaMokad was on the northeast side of the Azara. Northeast side of the Azara was the Beis HaMokad. The Beis HaMokad itself, as described elsewhere in Tamid and Midos, had 4 different rooms on its periphery. 4 different rooms, the Beis HaMokad. So the Mishnah tells us here that the Lishkas HaTzlaim was in the northwestern corner. Out of the 4 rooms. Again, this is, let's go, going from east to west, as we're going to be discussing. The east side, you go in the east side, you get to the Ezras Nashim. That's where the Sipchas Beis Shoeva took place. There were 4 rooms also there. Then you keep going, you go up the 15 steps through Shar Nicanor, and you get into the Azara, the Ezras Yisrael, then the Ezras Kohanim, and then you get to the Mizbeach. But after you walked in there, if you make a right, you go all the way up to the north side of the Azara, that's where the Beis HaMokad was, and that's where there were 4 different rooms that were for 4 different purposes. So the Lishkas HaTzlaim was for in the northwestern corner. The Arba Lishkos HaYusham, and there were 4 Lishkos there. What were they? Achas Lishkas HaTzlaim. One was this Lishkas HaTzlaim that was in the northwest. The Achas Lishkas HaChosamos. One was the Lishka of Chosamos, which we discussed in Meseches Shkalim, where you went, you paid for your Nesachim, and depending on the type of Nesachim that you needed, you will get a different ticket, whether it's a Gedi or a Chote, all different types of Nesachim. The Achas Lishka's Beis HaMokad, and one was the actually called the Lishka Beis HaMokad, which Mokad is a fire, Mokda, Alam Mizbeach, Right? So was there a fire in there? So Rashi says that's where they had a fire for the Kohanim to keep warm. The Kohanim, as we know, had to walk around barefoot. And sometimes it got chilly. Remember we had in Mishnayos and Shkalim, we even had someone who was appointed to be the doctor of the Kohanim. So that if they got stomach ailments, they got sick, they were able to be healed. And we discussed then from one of the Rebbes who said that why wasn't it a Nais, just like no pregnant woman got sick from the meat. So why isn't one of the Nisim that the Kohanim didn't get sick? Why do you need the doctor for? You had to have the fire. Those could be some Okad. So we mentioned then that Ein Somchan al Nais when you're involved in doing a mitzvah. Right, we don't have need. Hashem doesn't do a nais for the base hamigdash generally. Somebody walks in, we'll make sure that you don't get sick. But sometimes doing a mitzvah is to require hashtavlus, and it's not so easy. Hashem doesn't want to remove any of the schar for us in the involvement in actually doing a mitzvah, and therefore that is not one of the nisim. Yes, how does this fit into shluchei mitzvah in a nizokin? That might. Related issue, but either way, Lishkas Beis HaMokad. So that's the Beis HaMokad. Rashi says again that they walked around barefoot; they needed a warm place. Tosfos here quotes Rabbeinu Hananu, who gives a different shot. Why you needed the fire there? Just in case you needed to bring fire onto the mizbeach from Hedyot. We know a fire came down from Shemayim, but there's also, as we know, the pasuk in Parshas Sav, mitzvah lahavi min haHedyot. So that's where they brought the fire from. They always had a fire burning there. Okay, two different dais. The achas was the fourth one, lishka she'osin ba lechem apanim, the place where they used to make the lechem apanim. And they used to, as we know, switch it every Shabbos, but that was the lechem apanim. Those were the four offices. So fine. But now we have a problem. We have the Mishnah Maseches Midos. We're going to ask a stira between this Mishnah Maseches Tamid and the Mishnah Maseches Midos. V'raminhu, arba lishchos hayu lebeis hamokad. There were four offices, corners, to the Beis HaMokad. As we know, one of them was called the Beis HaMokad, but really the whole structure was the Beis HaMokad. Kikitonios, like cubicles, habesuchos, litraklin, that were open to the major ballroom, shtayim b'kodesh or shtayim b'chol. The two northern ones were b'chol. They didn't have kedushas ha'azara. That's why the kohanim were allowed to sleep there, right? Ein yeshiva ba'azara el malchus beis David bilvad. So they weren't. If you're a kohen, you're not from malchus beis David, right? Even though the cheshmonaim who were kohanim usurped and took the malchus, which either was because ein brera, there was nobody else at the time to take it, or the Rabban says that was a chait. Rabban parshas vayechi. Again, as part of the Hanukkah story. But two of them were Bachol and two of them were Bakodesh. The two southern ones were Bakodesh. Virashi Pishpisin Mavdilin Ben Kodesh Lachol. They were little sticks on the ground to mark off where the border was, so the Kohanim would know exactly how far they could go without being in Kedushas Azara.
Or to
sleep, right? They couldn't sleep in the, well, there are different rooms. They didn't sleep in the open area, but they slept in the rooms that were northern side, on the other side of the Pasen. The Pasen were in the middle of the open area. And what was each one used for? So he has the Stira. Stira is going to be, what was each one used for? Ma'arav is Dromis, hi haisa lishkas le'akarban. That's the Stira already, right? Southwest was the lishkas akarban, right? We said before, it was the northwest, right? That's the stira. Continue. Dromis Mizrachis, he lishka shahayu osin ba'alachem apanim. And the southeast was the one that the lechem apanim was in. Meaning, that was done b'kedusha, right? Because the southern ones were the ones that were b'kedusha. Mizrachis Tzvonis, northeastern. So, we're in the week of Hanukkah. Ba'gonzu beis chashmonai, avnei mizbeach sheshiksum malchi ovde kochavim. That is where they put the stones that were cut off by the Malchei Ovdei Kochavim, let's say the Yavanim, that they went in, and as we know, they didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but they were mitami the Beis HaMikdash. They also cut off, they wanted to make the Mizbeach not usable, and they cut off some of the stones, Shiksu Malchei Ovdei Kochavim, and therefore they kept them in that room, in that Kedusha, they couldn't use them again, they were Mizalzel in them, and therefore they kept them in that room. Tzvonis ma'aravis ba yordin lebeis atfila. The northwestern side was the doorway where they used to go down to the underground passageway to get to the mikvah, where the kohanim had to go in the morning if they needed to use it. So you see, that's the mishnah maseches midos. It's a stira. where exactly was the lishka of a couple of stiras, the karban, the lishkas hakarban is a stira, and the lishkas and the lechem apanim as well. But for a moment, before we answer the stira, we have to talk about this a little bit. The avnei mizbeach shiksa malchei ovdei kochanim. So first we'll start with the chazal and the rishonim, and then we'll get to the achronim, where this has lamaisa ramifications. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Avodah Zarah, as we had a daf be'in shir about this a couple of years ago, the Gemara tells us that daf nun beis, the Gemara asked the question, how is it that the Beis HaMikdash lost its Kedusha bizman Chanukah, bizman Vayesheni? How did they lose its Kedusha? Why, what's the question? Ein adam oser davar sheino shalo. So if the Malchus Ovdei Kochavim came in, and they tried to aser, and they were meshakets, the Mizbeach, and they tried to defile it, how could they do that? Ein adam oser davar sheino shalo. So how did they do that? Nun beis amabeis. That's the question of the Gemara. Mizrachet, and it quotes our Mishnah. Mizrachet tzfonis, ba gonzu beis chashmonis avni mizbeach, sheshikshu anse yavan, v'yamur av sheshet, sheshikshu la'avodas kochavim. So Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, gzeres hakasif. Hasam kra ashkach v'darash. A pasik, there's a pasik that alludes to this event, and because of that, it was already said b'nevua that it was going to happen, and that's why it happened. Dichsiv uva'u ba'pritzim achilaluha. Pritzim will come in, people who will break through, and be mechalal it. They will defile it. So the pasuk says it. So what does the pasuk mean, though? How do you understand the pasuk? So that's a machlokas right here between the Balamor and the Ramban. The Balamor says on this pasuk, Hasam kra ashkechu v'darshi nafki d'lalchule. You learn based on the pasuk that the pasuk uses the lashon of chilul. Chilul always means it loses its kedusha. So how did it lose its kedusha? Says the Bal Hamor, it was the misyavnim. So it was Jews who went over to Greek culture, and it's theirs. What do you mean, eno shalo? They're Jews, and therefore it is theirs. So the pasuk is being megale a chiddush in mitzius, not a chiddush in din. It's not a chiddush in din because they're Jews and they defiled it. The chiddush in mitzius is that it was talking. The pasuk was talking about the misyavnim. Uvalba pritzim. Those pritzim were the Jews. Al yedei Yisrael. And once it went out, it became the father of Yisrael. And then zachuba of the kachavim miyad Yisrael. Dechsev uvalba pritzim chelua. Or you want to say the Jews went in and basically took over, and then the umos olam were able to defile it. Either way, the Jews were the ones that used the halachic mechanism to allow the later defile to occur. That's the chiddush of the Baal Hamor. The Ramban right here in the Machama says, I don't understand that. So then the pasuk isn't telling you a chiddush. If it was the Jews that did it, so then what do you need a pasuk for? That's just a historical issue. That's what the Gemara is quoting. It's quoting a pasuk to teach you a historical chiddush, not a halachic chiddush, says the Ramban. No. It was the non-Jews, and it was a chiddush. It was a chiddush of indin. At this time period, says the Ramban, asking a couple questions, and then he said, Elavadai al yidei ovdei kochavim yatzu lechulin. Dikra ba'ovdei kochavim ksiv. Shahari navi misnabe al hamikdash sheyei charev. This is talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Later churban, v'amar sheyitzi lechulin al yadam. V'gzeres hakasiv al yahakol. Af al pi she'ein me'ilo bekarkos. It's a rule breaker in five different ways. There's no me'ilo when it comes to something attached to the ground. V'af al pi she'ein abenei me'ilo. They're non-Jews. V'haino dechsiv, nami unesativ biyad hazarim lavuz. Ule rishi haaretz l'shalal v'chileluha. V'kelem da'achaz lo yasa l'chulin. Okay, and he continues. This is machlokas between the Baal Hamor and the Ramban regarding the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash at that time. V'ubal ba'pritzim v'chileluha. That is the Baal Hamor and the Ramban. If you look at the Rav Sterbach points out that the Rambam leaves out this whole din, ubal ba'pritzim, because the Sirbach assumes he always liked the Baal Hamor, that there's no chiddush. It's just a din. The Navi is being megala a din in history, not a din on halacha, and therefore the Rambam does not quote it. The Jews were mosi elachulim. If you look at Rashi there, one other pshat, Rashi has a different pshat on that. 3 days in the Rishon. We have the Baal Hamor, we have the Ramban. Rashi there in Avodah Zarah and Daf Nun Beis, again, explaining this Mishnah of Shiksu, did the cause the kedusha to be lost? Rashi, uvabar pritzim mechilaluha, mikivan shenichnusu ovdei kochavim lahechal. The second that they came into the hechal, yatsu kelav lachulin. The second that they walked into the hechal, the kelam lost their. They became chulin. They were not kadosh anymore. Vikiva denafki lachulin kaninhu behefkera. right when they were chulin. So then b'meilo the umayis olam could be koneit v'havi luhu ditu ukishenishtamshu benov the chavim nasru. It's a fascinating shita. Rashi says the bailus, the status of kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, is connected to the fact that the Jews have control of the Beis HaMikdash. The second that the Jews lose control, then memela, the kedusha, evaporates. And it's hefker. And then anybody could come in. Right? It's similar to the discussion that we know of when Titus came in and when others came in. How could he come in and defile the Heichal and defile the Paroches in the way that we read about on Tisha B'Av, and he stabs the Paroches? How did that happen? Well, isn't there kedusha? The answer is no. The kedusha was already gone. The Shechina already left. The second that the Jews don't own Harabayis, don't own the Beis HaMikdash, the Memela becomes Hefker, and in a sense, a certain level of Kedusha is lost. Obviously, Bizman Hazeh, right, we paskin that you can't, we're all Tamei, so you can't go on to the Kodesh Kodashim now, right, we don't paskin that way, so there's still a certain level of Kedusha, but the certain level of Kedusha HaMikdash is lost right when the Umos Olam go in. So that's Rashi, the Balamar, and the Ramban. Three days.
In order to reuse the Kalim, they need Shem and Mishka.
So, I don't know if it will automatically come back. It's a good question. What about the Shem and Mishka? Right, we had earlier that the Shem and Mishka was only used once. And after that time, we pass on Avodasa Mechan Chasan. So, even if the Avoda itself can be Mechanech Lem, we might need to be Mechanech Lem again. But Lav Dafka, we wouldn't use the Shem and Mishka. The other Ha'ara to mention on this Mishnah is, why did they bury these stones? They had Kedusha. Right, and they weren't usable anymore. So why they have them in this room? One of the four rooms, they kept these stones. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he was asked in Orach Chaim, Chelek Dalet, Simin Lamed Ches, are you allowed to keep a worn-out Sefer Torah in a makom mechubad in a shul? Meaning you don't want to bury it. You have a puzzle Sefer Torah. A, you're allowed to keep it in the Aron. Or B, a related question that he deals with is, what about in a museum? Are you allowed to keep an old Sefer Torah in a museum? Let's say there are many old Sefer Torah in museums, but I don't know if they were after Shaila, whether they're allowed to do this, because if something has Kedusha, and it had Kedusha Saguf, so it has to be buried. So Rav Moshe was asked this, is there any problem with keeping a Sefer Torah that's worn out, that's never going to be used, not burying it? So Rav Moshe says, "B'dvar Sefer Torah Shebala, k'shirotim lachzika b'makam mechuban v'esak neses, im rashayim, yafe harisa," he says to his son-in-law, Rabbi Tendler, Deleka shum chisaron kishayachziku b'makom mechubad. No problem, says Rav Moshe. And he continues and says, Ach ulai, masha machzikin esayiriya hanimseis mi sefer Torah kvura bekarka bigermanya mipnei hanatsim shenizbala shum b'makom mechubad. Maybe, he says, he brings a raya from a certain case, says, maybe keeping it where nobody could see it is, but people know about it is one thing. Ava ba'ofen sheyiru osa lezikaron rishus hanatsim he is a bizayon. You might think that if they keep it in a place to remind the people of history of what the Nazis Yimach Shemam did, maybe that's a problem. Says Rav Moshe, no problem. Mistaver she'ena bizayon ve'ein lanu levados mi libeinu lomar shu davar bizayon. There's no source in Shas to say that it's a bizayon to do such a thing, and we don't have to come up with new isurim. V'ktsas mashma, and I'll give you a little raya, says Rav Moshe, that it's okay. Ksas masha b'meseches midos huva b'yuma reish daf tezayin our gemara mizrach es tzvon es bagonzu beis chashmona avdi mizbeach shalach ora havale lignos b'karka. Why don't you bury them? To ha'avanim halom miskalkula b'karka shikinuza b'yoser tova uveprat it's aser b'hanaa. Why do you have them there? Why they keep them there? It must be to remember what the Yavanim did. V'lachein mashma shu kedei sheyizkru rishus ha'yavanim ulahodos l'Hashem yizbarach. Unbelievable. No better month to do this, Gemara. Ach mikol makom, imayamutu l'shtamish b'hem, while you go into Mosam b'shvil zeh, ulafsita b'chulu, and he continues. And therefore, there's no bizayin putting them to reminding people of what happened in history. That's where Moshe related to this discussion. Related to this also, one other point, a couple of, Rav Moshe has a shuvah about this too, but I didn't bring that one. But the Rav Zilberstein discusses this here in the Chashuk Yechemed, and I'll read it to you from the Shari Tzion. The Shari Tzion is the shuvah sefer written by the Rav of the Kotel, Rav Rabinovitz. The shuvah is all related to inyanim of Mekomos Hakadoshim. So there in Simin Va Zayin, he says Litzari Ba'achrona Bo Elai HaAnashim. He says recently people have come and told me that there are people that come. And very secretly, they go to the Kotel and they chip off a piece of the Kotel. chip off a little piece. They want to take a little of the Western Wall with them, Rachman al-Itzlan. And he says, Kavayacho kisigula lahatzlacha v'chadoma. Umehem ke'elu ha-manichem es osam avanim netutzos b'machem ha-mishtamer. They take it with them. Sheish b'ritzonam la'alosas. I want to bring this. I want to bring this back. I want to make sure I always have the base of Mikdash on my mind. He says, oi. He says, number one, there's an Isra of Me'ilah, B'Avnei HaKosel. So look in Ramosha's Tshuva. Number two, B'Gam Pashut, Shenotav L'Isra Me'ilah, Ika Isra Chamor, Delov Tason, Kela Hashem Elokeichem. He says, it's terrible. So he's taking a stone. The Yavanim did that. They broke off pieces of the Mizbeach. Chas V'Shalom, a Jew should do that. And Rav Zilberstein also, when he was asked about somebody, listen to the case. There was a case that somebody's wife was deathly ill, Rachman al-Islan. And the husband heard that if you put something very special under the wife's pillow, that's a skula for refuah. He says, I don't know of any greater special item than a piece of the kotel. So he went and took a little piece off, and he put it under the pillow, and didn't help. Rachman al-Islan, his wife was niftara, and he had sent people to do it, the people who had done it. All of a sudden, it says, Uba'u tsaros shonos umishunos. Al elu sheis asku benetita so even meakosel. Terrible plagues started coming onto those. So they asked Rav Zilberstein, how do I do tshuva for this? That was the question that they asked him. So this is not, as the Nota Behuda writes in a sefer, we don't know, it's not in nigla how to do tshuva for certain averis. Right? So a person just has to do tshuva what they feel. So first of all, Rav Zilberstein says they've done three averos. As we said, stealing from Tzarchei Tzibur, even if you want to say it doesn't have full Kedusha. And number three, Isser Ripui B'Divrei Torah. Not allowed to heal yourself with Divrei Torah. Asser L'Hisrapos B'Divrei Torah, as the Shulchan Aruch says elsewhere. So he talks about how one does tshuva for that. He says, well, first he says, maybe if it's a Chol HaSheish B'Sakani, you can do whatever. You're allowed to pick up. It's not called Chol HaAveris. But he says, this isn't a Vadai Refua. This isn't even a Refua She'ena B'Duka Menusa. Nobody does this. So he said, there's no track record for this. So he says, this for sure was not allowed. So he says, I asked my father-in-law, because I wasn't going to answer this question, Rav Yashiv, Zatzal, Shet Shuvasam. He says, you have to have Shuvas HaMishkal. How do you have Shuvas HaMishkal here? Balance. So he says, you have to support shuls and Bate Knessios, and right, you have violated this from the Ila of Beis HaMikdash, so you have to support Bate Knessios and Bate Midrashos. And he goes through each little thing. It's a little difficult to know exactly how to do tshuva, but that's related to this, right? We're Chas V'Shalom allowed to cut off. You might hear about these things, but again, it's as Kedusha. That's Kedusha, and therefore, we have to stay away. Okay, back to the Stira. Why does the Mishnah say Maseches Tamid? One discussion of the four offices, while here, the Mishnah says in Midos, have a different one. Amar Afuna, fifth line, Mantana Midos, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Who is the author of Maseches Midos, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov? Right, this is the parallel to the Gemara earlier, where we said, who is Mishnah's Tamid? That's Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. So who's Midos? Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Ditznan. Where do we see that it's the author of Reb Elazar ben Yaakov? As follows. The Mishnah tells us there also in Midos, Ezras Nashim, Haya, Haisa, Orach Me'ev Shloshim V'Chamesh, Al Rochav Me'ev Shloshim V'Chamesh. The Ezras Nashim was square. 135 by 135. The Abalishkos Hayu Bedalad Miksa Oseha. And there too, the Ezras Nashim, which again, we were just talking about the Beis HaMokad, which is on the north side of the Azara. Now we're talking about the Ezras Nashim. Should go out east, right, the place where the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was, on the four corners of that room were the four Lishachos. Umahayim Misham Shos. And what were those used for? Dromis Mizrach is the southeast one. He Yaisa Lishkas HaNazirim. That's where the office of the Nazirim. Shasham Nazirim Mevashlam Mishalmehem. That's where the Nazirim have to cook their carbon shlamim. So we know the Psukim describe in Parshas Naso. They have to bring a carbon shlamim. The Zroa Bishela, as it's called. You have to give some of it to the Kohen. Umegalchin Saharan. And that's where they shave their heads. Umeshalchin Dachas Adud. You throw the hair under the dud, under the pot where the shlamim is being burned. That is the southeastern corner. We've discussed in the past the symbolism of that. First of all, why the hair? That's a beautiful thought from Rabbi Leff. Writes in his Sefer that hair, if you think about it, is the transition place between your guf and what's above your guf. Gashmius and ruchnius, and the spiritual. The hair is the transitionary place. And this nazir has been out of balance. That's why a person becomes a nazir, because they are too extreme to one side. They want the pendulum to swing back to the middle, and therefore they go to the other extreme, and no wine and no nothing. So we're saying right now, like that the nazir is stopping to be a nazir, he's starting his life again, he cuts off the hair as if to say, okay, my transition spot is starting afresh, is starting anew. Now I'm going to, you know, make sure that my gashmius and my ruchnius and my whole life is in balance. That's what Rav Lef writes in his Sefer on Parshas Naso. If you look also, it's an interesting thought. The Mishpat Zav is a Sefer on Navi, on the Biyam Rishonim. See, he writes there, the most famous, probably, most famous hair that we have in Nevi'im Rishonim is Shimshon's. Avshalom also, but Shimshon had the hair. So Shimshon gives the secret after finally being asked by Delilah a number of times and not telling her the truth. Remember the story? He says, fine, if you cut my hair, then I'm going to lose my strength. So why dafka the hair? Also there, the hair was the strength of Shimshon. So he quotes here from the Sefer Likutim. Sefer Likutim, be'inyan gvura shel Shimshon, shayza tuliyah basaris rosho, dak yatamu, lefi sheruach hakodesh tamid ushora al rosho shel adam. Ruach hakodesh goes on our intellect, on the rosh. Ki zeh ha'makom ha'nechbad v'hagavoa, mishkan ha'neshama, shi'chelek elokam mimal. That's where the hashuras hashchina is, so to speak. Ruach hakodesh. Avo ma shetzorech ladas, ki ruach hakodesh... Osha nichnas beprimiusa shel adam goes through the head. V'zedafka kshu ruach hakodesh shel chakma v'shel navua. That's real ruach hakodesh. Did Shimshon have ruach hakodesh? He was a shofate, but he was a different type of leader. Masha enkin ruach hakodesh shel gvura v'shel hod. Not really ruach hakodesh, but we would call this divine inspiration, but not intellectual divine inspiration. Physical divine inspiration. That's what Shimshon had. Kamo shehush el hagiborim ve'el hamalachim. Ki amin hazeh shel ruach hakodesh ein tzarech sheikanes bepnimius hanesham. It doesn't have to go all the way into the head. It can just stay on top. And that's the hair. That's why his strength was in the hair, because that's where the siyata deshmaya of his gvura came to. El adai sheyamod bachutz. And that's why he says, you know, you cut off my hair, I'm finished. And that's what happened, actually, with Shimshon. But either way, the hair is something unique in halacha in that story, and that's where the nazir cuts off the hair and throws it under the dud of the shlamim. So that was the southeast corner. Next, no, I'm sorry, mizrachis tzfonis. That was the southeast corner. Dromas mizrachis. Next, mizrachis tzfonis, northeast. He isa lishkas dir ha'etzim shasham kohanim ba'ali mumin omdin. That's where they used to keep the wood. That's where the kohanim, the ba'ali mumin, who couldn't do the avoda, they used to go and check the wood for worms. Umaslian ba'etzim, they used to check them. Matlian shakol etzish bo tola'as, any piece of wood that was wormy pasul lagabi mizbeach, was not allowed to be used on the mizbeach. Again, every one of these we could speak about for a little while. We'll try to do it in to be able to cover each of them. The lishkat, where the wood was, that's where the ba'alei mumin used to check the wood. What would happen if you use on a piece of wood with a worm in it? What violation are you doing? What are you violating? It's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say it explicitly, but it's kimat explicit in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchas Isurei Mizbeach, Kishem Perek Vav, Kishem Shemitzvah Lios Kol Karban Tamim, just like every carbon has to be tam, that's a mitzvah zaseh daraisa. And there's about six averos of ba'ali mumin. You can't do the zrika for a ba'al mumin, you can't do the shchita for a ba'al mum. So Rambam says, just like it has to be mum, v'nivchar, kach nisachav, you tamimim v'nivcharim. The nisachim, the wine and the flour that's brought, has to be tam. Shemar tamimim yulachem niskahem. You can't use wine that is old, that is rotted. You can't use wormy flour. V'lo sola shehitliya. V'chein, and the next halach, Rambam says, Atzei ha'ma'aracha lo yiyu ela nifcharim v'lo yiyah bohem tola'as. Can't have any worms. Shekol eit she'etliyah k'shehu lach pasul ha'mizbeach. It's pasul agave ha'mizbeach. Sounds like, one more halacha, keep reading. Ha'makdash yayin pasul, o soles psula, o shemen pasul, o eitzim psulim la'mizbeach. If somebody's makdash any of these items, there's an issur daraisa to be makdash balmum agave ha'mizbeach. What if I'm makdash a wormy piece of wood? Do I violate the Isser? Says the Rambam, Hare hadavar safik im domim lebalmum kibehema viloka o einon kibalmum. Amazing suffix. The Rambam says if you're makdash a piece of wood that has a worm in it, it could be that you're violating a makdash balmum legabi amizbeach. It's the Rambam. Lefichach ein aloke, because it's a suffix, o makanos amakas mardus. That's the Rambam. But again, when I'm makdash a wormy piece of wood, so all the wood in the Beis HaMikdash, in that office, that wasn't huktash daf, but that was given as a donation. I'm not sure if it has worms or not. You know, take what you could use, and the rest won't be used. That's what it was given. But the Rambam says, if somebody is makriv a bal mum, b'mezid, with hasra, then it could be that they would be chayav malchus. But again, we wouldn't give, because it is a davar safek, whether we would give that. Remember, one of the six reasons of celebration on Tu B'Av, the Gemara says in Baba Basra and in Tainus, one of the six reasons is because that was the day that they stopped checking the wood for worms. Right at that time period, it was the middle of the summer. It was now after that, it was still boiling hot, but now it was going to start to get cooler a little bit. So the wood wasn't as dried out. There was more of a chance for worms. They stopped checking the Bali Mumin, Kohanim, stopped checking the wood. So why was there such a celebration? So the Mizamachlokas there in Baba Basra between Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rashbam. The Rashbam there, and this is a very crucial makar for the following concept, the Rashbam says, because they finished this great mitzvah, they made a big party. Made a big party. They've been doing this mitzvah for months. They've been checking the wood for months. They finished the mitzvah, they make a party. That is one of the makaris in Shas for making a siyum. Making a siyum. It's a Gemara in Baba Kama too, but that's one of the sources in Shas for making a siyum. They made a party, the Rashbam and Baba Basra, on the Gemara about Tu B'Av, but that they finished the great mitzvah. Rabbeinu Gershom there doesn't argue, but he just gives a different shot. He says, because they finished, now they had more time to learn. It's Rabbeinu Gershom. So you can say that's the point of the mitzvah, the CM2. You finish something, you go on to the next thing. You go on to the best thing is that you could start, you finish a mitzvah and go to the next step. But either way, that's they celebrated that they finished checking the wood, but this is where they did it. They did it in the Mizrachis Tzfon, is the northeastern corner of the Ezra's Nash. Good. There's more about the wood, but we will continue. Oh, just one other horror. Remember we had in Shkalim, just to remind everyone from about a month ago, there were three deos where the Aron is today. Where's the Aron? So one of the deos was that it was taken by the Romans with the other Kalim. That was one deo. The other deo that we paskin, the Rambam paskins, is that it's under the Kodesh Kadashim. Bizman Hazeh, Yoshio HaMelech already put it there way before the Chorban. And the third deo was, it was in the Dir HaEitzim. It was in this room. Underneath, and one of the Kohanim saw a tile that was picked up, and he was about to tell them, and he dropped dead because they didn't want anybody to know. So the three days we had in Shkalim, where the Aron is. One of them was under here. Continuing. Tzfon is, remember, what are we doing here? We're trying to figure out that the author of Maseches Midos is Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. We'll get there soon. Tzfon is Ma'aravis, Hi Haisa Lishkas HaMitzorain. The northwestern corner was where the Mitzorahs were. Ma'aravis Deromis, and the southwestern corner, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, Shachachti ma'isa m'shemeshes. I forgot what it was used for. That shows that he's the author of the previous, and he just says this one I don't remember. Right, that's our raya already. Abishol Omer. Abishol said no. I'll remind you. Baha yunostin yain v'shemen. That's where they used to put the oil and the wine. V'yaisa nikreis lishkas beis shemanya. Right, that's where the oil was kept. And that's where you used to take your chosam from the other area and bring it here and switch your chosam for the oil and the wine that you needed. So that's what we see. Midos is Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's why you could argue with Maseches Tamid. Hachanan Mestaber Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and also the fact it makes sense that it's Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Shita Ditznan based on the following. The following is only going to be, this point is only going to be ended the third to last line of the Amud. So Ditznan. We're going to figure out exactly right now, there's going to be a slight difference in terms of the structure of the Azara between Reb Elazar ben Yaakov and the other Shitos. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is going to hold that the Azara is a little bit higher than the other Tanaim. Because of that, the following, as we'll see, is going to be true only according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. So this is another raya, that Midos is Reb Elazar ben Yaakov's authorship. So where do we have this? Ditznan. Last skinny line. Kalak salam shahayusham. All walls in the Beis HaMikdash hayugvon were very tall. Chutz mikosel mizrachi. Except for the eastern wall. Why? Shahakohen asorif esapara omeid bahara mishcha. Because the Kohen, the Kohen who was doing the avoda of the paraduma on Har HaZesim, which is east of Har HaMoriah, he had to look ant. He had to look westward from where he was standing, and he has to be able to look into the Heichal all the way. And if the wall, the eastern wall, was very tall, he wouldn't be able to see inside. As he did the Hazah, the Avoda of the Paraduma, he had to be able to look inside. And therefore it had to be short. Why? Because if it was too tall, he wouldn't be able to see in. So let's just say outside what the point of this Gemara is going to be, and then we'll see it inside. The point is that we're about to see that every doorway in the Beis HaMikdash was 20 amos tall. According to the other deos that we're going to see in the Mishnah, the highest point of the floor gets up till 19 and a half amos. So according to the other deos, not Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you didn't have to make the wall short. He would be able to just look in, there's still a half an amma underneath the top of the doorway, and the floor of the heichal. And therefore there's still space, you wouldn't have to make the wall so short. And therefore, you wouldn't need to have the eastern wall so short. According to Elazar ben Yaakov, we're going to see he has an extra amma and a half height of the floor of the heichal. So according to him, you can't look underneath the doorway. It's all closed up. You can't. It's the walls there. That's why, according to him, you have to make a shorter wall. That's going to be the point of the next 15 lines of the Gemara. But now we're going to go through the dimensions itself. So here we go. So the Mishnah says in Midos that you had to make it short. And why is that? Vitznan says the Mishnah also, call up Sakim Shal Yusham. All the doorways there, Govhon Esrim Amma. Veruchman Esr Amos, they were 10 by 20. They were 20 Amos tall, which is pretty tall if you think about a doorway, between 30 and 40 feet, depending on how many feet an amma is, and it was 10 amos wide. Vitznan, and the Mishnah says, Lifnim mimenu sorig. We're going in now from Harabayas. From Harabayas, we're going in around the Azara, all the Azaras, even the Azaras Nashim, there was a sorig, which was a fence, a wooden fence. Wooden fence surrounding the Sorig. We'll get back to the Sorig. Let's finish the point. And if we think the Sorig is like nothing, halacha l'maisa, we'll see what the Sorig tells us. Vitznan, but let's finish first. Lifnim mimenu, from within the Sorig, hachel eser amos. Then he had an area that was 10 amos wide, like a courtyard in there. What was the Sorig important for? Sorig is important for that was the borderline between where Jews are still allowed to go in and umos olam are not. That was the one of the halachos that the Mishnah described in the first paragraph of Maseches Kelim. That was the difference. And we also had this in Shkalim, that the Yevanim made 13 breaches right between in that wall, because we spoke about it then, they didn't want to have any differentiation between the Jew and the non-Jew. And that's why Dafka, they made the 13 breaches, and that's why they were Mesakin 13 Ishtachavayos, connected each of these Pirtzos. Vishnei Mesri Malos HaYusham. And there were 12 steps that went up into the Azara. So Rum Malo Chatzi Amma, Vishokha Chatzi Amma. Each one was a half Amma tall and a half Amma deep. Those were the 12 steps going into the Azara. And then you have Tezvav Malos Olos Mitocha Hayordos Be'ezrisrael Ezras Nashim. Those 12 steps were going into the Ezras Nashim. Now you have the next 15 steps going from the Ezras Nashim into the what we call the Azara. That's the famous 15 steps, the 15 Shira Malos. The Levium used to stand on there and sing and play instruments. Good. Just one small Ha'ara, even though we're in the middle. Why here? We keep formulating going from east to west. And all of a sudden, going up, and here the formulation is 15 steps that go from up to down. What do you mean up to down? We're going down to up. So the Rebbe Eliashiv here notes is maybe because we know of one avoda that's done on those steps, and it's done when Kohanim and Levim are going from up to down. So this is an allusion to the Mishnah in Meseches Sukkah. Why? What's the Mishnah in Sukkah? The Mishnah tells us by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when the Kohanim are going down the steps and they stop every couple of steps and they sing right all the way at the end of the Masechta. So it says that they go out on Nun Aleph Amid Beis Avalavim Bekinoros Unavam Mitzaltayim Bechatzotzros Uvekleishir Below Mispar Al Chamesh Esrei Malos Hayordos. Me'ezras Yisrael, Ezras Nashim. The steps that go from Ezras Yisrael, the Azara, to the Ezras Nashim, Kineged Chamesh Esrei Shevet Tehillim, Sha'aleim Levien Omdim B'Kleishir V'Omrim Shira. And the Kohanim stand there, and they go down and they start singing. Karagar V'Taku, Herbi V'Taku. Higiyu L'Mala Asiris. They come to the 10th step. They're going down. Then they come to the fifth step. They go down. So that's why Rabbi Yashav says maybe that's why this formulation is alluding to that avodah that was done on the steps. Right? The most exciting thing that was done on those steps was when they went down the steps. And that's why the formulation here is switched to not, in, even though we're going east to west, this one line is formulated west to east, going down the steps. Okay, so Tesla Malos Olos Mitocha Hayardos Bazisrol as Nashim Rum Mala Chatzi Amma Vishocha Chatzi Amma. Can every step went up a half an amma and in half an amma? Vitznan. We're just going straight through from east to west, the geography of the Beis HaMikdash. Vitznan Bein Ha'ulam V'la Mizbeach Chaf Beis Amma. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, between when you walk in, and the Mizbeach is 22 amos. V'shteimet, we'll see, it's 11 and 11. It'll be explicated a little bit later on. V'shteimet, Sri Malos, Hayusham. And there were another 12 steps going from the Azara to the Heichal. Hayusham, Roma, Lachatzi Amma, V'shocha, Chatzi Amma. Each one was a half an amma up. So if you do the whole math, all adding up all of these steps that were all a half an amma up, all together, it was 19 and a half amos. According to the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama. Rav Ben Yaakov Omer, he has an extra section. Ma'ala Haisasham, there was a ma'ala where, if you go into the Azara, from east to west, you go into the through Sharanikinar, you went up the 15 steps, you come into Sharanikinar, so the first 11 amos that you get to are what's called Ezras Yisrael, that's where Yisraelim are allowed to stay. The next 11 amos, when you walk in, there's 22 amos till you hit the Mizbeach. The first 11 amos are Ezras Yisrael. The next 11 amos are Ezras Kohanim, where the Kohanim are allowed to stand. If a Yisrael wants to do Shechita on his Karban, Shechita K'sher Bazar, he could do it in those first 11 amos. Right, that's it. He can't go further than that. That's where the Ezras Kohanim are. So those between those 11 and 11, you should have, how do you know? How do Yisraelim, how are they going to remember that they can't go further? It says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there was another step there. There was a step after the first 11 amos, before you get to the second 11 amos, so the marker between the Ezras Yisrael and the Ezras Kohanim. Mala Haisasham, the Gavoa Amma, and it was an Amma high, the Dochen Nosan Aleha, and it was a, there was a little platform there, Ubo Shalosh Ma'alos Shel Chatzi Chatzi Amma. And there were three steps there, each a half an Amma high. So it was 1.5 amos higher than the Tanakhama Shita. So therefore, if all the math altogether, the Tanakhama was 19 and a half, here you're above 20, so therefore you can't see through the door. That's why you had to make that wall shorter according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So here we explicate it now. E Amrit Bishmal Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi, if you say that the opinion in Meseches Midos, who says that the wall has to be short, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. I know the ichsi le pischa. I understand that the Pesach covers it, and therefore you have to make it, you have to open it. Ela'i amrit rabbanan ha'ika pagadamsa. But rabbanan, you still have a half an amma, the mischazi le pischa begave, that you could see underneath the doorway. Right? You don't have to make the doorway is 20, just open the door. The door is, you have to make the wall shorter. Elav shvami no, Elazar ben Yaakov. So that proves it's like it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's. Good. Let's continue. Maybe we'll do the more discussion on tomorrow's stuff when we'll have more time. Says the Gemara, Rav Ada bar Ava Amar, maybe not. Rav Ada, maybe I have another opinion. Maybe this is not a proof that it's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Hamani Rav Yehuda hi. Rav Yehuda, Shita. There's a different reason why you won't be able to see the Heichal. Not just because it's too short, but the Mizbeach is smack in the middle. So if you're looking from Harazesim into the Heichal, the Mizbeach, doesn't the Mizbeach block if it's in the middle? Well, it depends where the Mizbeach is. So Rabbi Yehuda holds the Mizbeach in the middle. That's another reason why he would block. So maybe that's his Shita. Let's see. So Amar Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. That's on Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMizbeach Memutza Va'omid Be'emsa Azara. The Mizbeach was smack in the middle of the Azara, meaning north-south, Ushloshim, Ushtaim Amos, Hayulo. Now we're going to explain exactly where it was in the middle. It was 32, right? The Mizbeach was square. 32 by 32. Eser Amos, Keneged Pischa Shel Heichal. Eser Amos, there were 10 Amos, Keneged, the Pesach of the Heichal. Meaning 10 Amos of the Mizbeach blocked the 10 Amos Pesach of the Heichal. And then you have 11 and 11 on either side. Right, because it's 32 altogether. Yud Aleph Amalus Avon, Yud Aleph Aldarum. Nimsa Mizbeach Mechuva Keneged Heichal Vekosla. So Mizbeach blocks. So the Gemara says that was Rav Ada Bar Ava's point. There's no raya that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is the only one that has a problem. Rav Yehuda has a problem. So the Gemara says, not true. Now we'll defend. We'll read this all today, and then we'll talk more about it about the Shem on tomorrow's daf. V'i salka daitach midos Reb Yehuda hi. One second, but if you say the author of midos is Reb Yehuda shita mizbeach b'em sazar mi mishkachas lei, do you really have the mizbeach in the middle? V'hatnan. But look at the following mishnah. In midos, kol ha'azara ha'isa orech mea v'shmona v'sheva al rochav mea v'shloshim v'chamesh, north, south, it went 135. Right, just like the Ezra's Nashim. It was all equal. North, south, it was 135. East, west, it was 187. So now we're just going to do the math. East, west, mina mizrach l'mayrev, mea v'shmona v'sheva. How? Makom drisas ragli Yisrael yud aleph ama. Right, the first 11, we said, that's Ezra's Yisrael. Makom drisas ragli koanim yud aleph ama. Another 11, that's 22. Mizbeach shloshim v'shtayim, right, that's 54. Beino ula v'la mizbeach eser mishtayim, 76. Right, add another 22. V'yahechal kuf ama. Again, 176. V'yud aleph ama achore beis hakaporis. Then another 11 amos behind the Kodesh Kadashim. To the west of the behind the Kodesh Kadashim until the wall. So if you add all of that up, that equals 187. And that's east-west. Min hadarim latzafon. What about north-south? Mea v'shloshim v'chamish, 135. Hakevesh v'hamizbeach. The ramp and the mizbeach shishim v'shtayim. That was 62. The mizbeach itself was 32, and then the ramp. Min hamizbeach v'latabaos, and going north of the mizbeach now. From the mizbeach to the rings where they used to put the animals. Ches amos, 8. Makam atabaos, the rings spot themselves. Esrim v'arba, 24 amos. Min hatabaos v'lashulchanos, from the rings to the tables where they used to put the flesh afterwards. Arba. Min hashulchanos l'nanasim, that was shorter, structures that they used to use. Arba. Minanasam lakos el azara. Ches amos. Right, that's the dimensions. Vihamosar. And what's left over, we have a mesora that is 135. The part that's less than 135. Binakevesh ulakosel umakam ananasim. That's on the south side, from the southern wall to where the ram starts, and more the place of the nanasim. That's the Mishnah in Maseches Midos. So now we ask the question. And if the Maseches Midos, the authorship is Rabbi Yehuda, Mizbech b'emsazor mi mishkachas lei, haruba de Mizbech b'darum kai. Right? If you do this math, most of the Mizbech is in the south. Right? Not in the middle. But Rabbi Yehuda says it's in the middle. So it must be Elav Shmamina, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Yishmamina. So it must be like we thought, like we proved before, the authorship is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's why you can't ask any steerers between Maseches Midos and Maseches Tamid because of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita. Okay, we'll have to stop here. But tomorrow we start off with having the bima in the middle of a shul, the Chasam Sofer, and other discussions of that. And we got to talk about the Soreg. Got to talk about the Soreg and the significance of the Soreg. Rav Moshe uses this in his first shuva about Mechitza. About Mechitza, we'll have to see his discussion there. Okay, we'll stop here. But Hashem, we will continue.